Potters. Yeah. Whoa. Harry Potter's. This. It came full circle.
Welcome to the Feudal Podcast for the time, too.
We're like a Potter
Cast.
Yeah, it's the Feudal Podcast. This is a
the Feudal Potter's Cast.
This is what I like to call right? Feudal Podcast Freelance Go.
Ooh,
why does it have such an anime name to it?
I don't know.
That sounds badass. Did you just make that up?
I did. That's why it has such a name, because you just freelance go.
They brought us Adult Swim, so cut them some slack.
I used to watch Adult Swim.
Oh, you don't anymore because you're a hipster.
No, I don't anymore because they haven't provided me with anything.
I am sorry, my friend, but you are a hipster.
Well, then how come I don't belong in a group? How come
hipsters
don't belong in groups?
They think they're better than
they
people.
They travel in packs, don't they? They travel in single file to hide their numbers. Would they think that was clever? Would they make Star Wars references?
Yes, they would.
They would,
yes.
Really? They wouldn't be hipsters like, they wouldn't be like, you know, Star Wars is
like
not
you,
as cool.
You are a hipster. Just because you don't have Ira Glass spectacles.
Or listen to NPR.
Or listen to NPR.
Or listen to music that...
You listen to podcasts and you listen to a bunch of heady Boards of Canada type stuff.
That's not heady.
It's heady.
Anything, you mean like intellectual?
Anything that's not...
Like Paul Oakenfold?
Chevelle or...
what about Default?
Or Hinder. Anything that's not Chevelle or Hinder is hipster music, my friend.
Okay.
Don't you listen to Wagon Christ and stuff?
Wagon Christ is good stuff.
You're a hipster, my friend.
It's electronic music. Mm-hmm. Hipsters don't like that. They like white
stripes and
shit.
You know who labels people? Hipsters a lot. So you're labeling a group of people right now.
I'm just observing.
You're more...
I observe.
That's what hipsters do for a career, man. They observe.
You're
a hipster.
Hipsters all thought Observe and Report was great. I didn't think it was great.
No, they did not think that. People who liked Observe and Report were people who liked gross out stuff with a lot of language in it.
Uh-huh.
Every single person who laughed in that theater when we saw that was some dumbass jock guy.
Mouth breather.
Did you notice that?
I think so.
I watched everyone who left.
Did you say they didn't?
No, they got it. That's the thing, is that it's not made for the type of audience you think it is. I think sometimes you watch something and think, well, considering the audience this was made for, I don't think I should like it.
I decide if I like it or not.
Nah.
You think I stifled laughs?
I think you did.
You think I can even know how to do that?
You did.
I force laughs more often than stifle.
Yeah. What was that for the ad for Sorority Row?
Oh, yeah. that was funny, though.
Oh, funny to you. It was embarrassing to me.
I'm sorry.
It was embarrassing
to me. I apologize. Retroactively.
I had to slink down a little lower in my
seat. But that was
funny. You can see funny people with us on Friday, right?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw a live-action film in the theater?
Live-action film? I haven't seen an anime film in the theater in a while.
I decided to throw that in. I probably shouldn't drink this. But I'm
no, go for it, dude.
I'm gonna wake up by noon tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a tough guy. Strong man. It's been a while.
I'm not supposed to be giving him anything. He's an alcoholic.
I'm really an alcoholic. Well, we can talk about that in a bit then. I'm really underwhelmed with the Apatow stuff, and just I don't feel like I want to bother with it. And you know what? If it gets good reviews, if you say, hey, you know what? It actually was funny. It was different than I thought it was going to be.
How can you not like Apatow?
Kristen asked me not to drink with you anymore.
I feel like
you got to drink with me, though.
Because she thinks you're an alcoholic.
Well, a little bit.
Well, I know you are.
Borderline.
If you drink with people, that's not alcoholic.
What do you think I'm going to be like, hey, tomorrow,
tell her not to listen to this podcast.
I'm going
to
be like, she doesn't listen to the fucking podcast.
She might sometimes.
My question is, how many Star Wars references do you think there will be in the new Apatow movie?
There's got to be at least one.
I think that there will
there
be,
has to be
no,
at least,
no fewer than three and no more than seven.
Yeah, there,
I'm going to give you an under over.
I'll take the under on three.
You think
I'll take under three?
I think at least three.
You take the over on three?
I think that it's three to seven.
In the trailer, they already showed a Harry Potter.
I
think there's going to be no more than three.
Here's the thing. In the trailer, they already showed the only really funny part.
You don't know
which
that.
Is the part that everyone.
You don't know that.
The part
you
that, like,
know
even
that.
My mom thinks is funny, and it's like, you know what? Were you mad when you died at the end of Die Hard? Right. That's going to be the funniest line of the whole movie.
No, it's not.
No.
I think I might find two other parts that are funny that no one else will think.
I don't know. Maybe I'm lame or something. But
40-year-old virgin, I thought that is that the $6 million man's boss that made me laugh for 2 minutes straight. But that made no one else laugh.
I don't know. Like this.
It's
movie,
my hipster credibility.
Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe I'm a piece of shit. Whatever. I'm looking forward to this movie.
I will
more
laugh.
Than most movies.
I will laugh. I like Judd Apatow stuff. I'll tell you what I don't like is the fact that almost all the comedy is pop culture references. I don't like that because I think it's not going to stand up in 10 years.
Well, yeah, but you know, so what?
It's funny. Yeah, but so what?
But like. Any like Apatow movie, any like movie with Seth Rogen, you know, any movie that's associated with those people, there's at least been 2 Star Wars references per movie.
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly just really did not enjoy Knocked Up as much as I was expecting or wanted to.
I laughed all the way through.
I thought it tailed
way off in the last 20 minutes, and by then it was like, that movie is what made me hate Katherine Heigl.
Is she the girl? The one?
She's
the knocked
it,
up
yeah.
chick?
That movie made me hate her, but I mean overall, one thing
she was pretty hateful in that movie.
The best thing about those movies is like when it like them, you know, like when it's Seth Rogen and you know Jonah Hill, whatever. Yeah. When they're all hanging out, it's just you know they're hanging out. That's what it seems like. That's why it's like funny. They're just like you know some.
But that's also like what you do with a commentary track, you know.
You know
it's not really a movie.
What's interesting is that all the humor in that Apatow thing is dialogue based stuff, and I remember when.
He was writing jokes for Tom Arnold.
Well, I remember when critics used to criticize, for lack of a better word, since I said critics, all dialogue-based comedy.
Denigrate, maybe?
I remember when Canadian Bacon came out. Roger Moore's...
Canadian Bacon.
Roger Moore's one...
Perfect example of comedy.
Non-documentary.
Roger Moore?
Michael Moore.
Really? Michael Moore made that
movie?
He did.
He directed it?
Yes.
It's remarkably
extremist
in its fashion.
He wrote it and directed it?
So,
no way.
When it came
out, I didn't know that at all.
I remember Siskel and Ebert and a couple other people talking about it and they said, you know what, it's pretty funny, but it's all dialogue-based and word-based humor, and there's no physical comedy, and there's very little...
Situational
stuff, and they're like, and because of that, it just kind of falls flat. And I was watching... It was either Knocked Up or a 40-year-old version. 40-year-old version is really good. I was watching Knocked Up, I think, recently, and it made me think of that. I was like, this is all, every single joke, every single laugh in the film is wordplay. And it's
but that's
talking.
Funny. Like, that
but
is
that's,
funny.
That's the thing, is that like times
Maybe,
have changed to the point
yeah,
where...
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was going
to
say.
Times have changed to the point where like that's what it is now. Like, there's a sea change. It used to be that... I mean, Mel Brooks used to be a king of comedy. His stuff is garbage now. Honestly, the only really good
that's
film he ever made was Young Frankenstein.
For a while.
The original producers is fucking hilarious.
Everything else, you got bits and pieces. I read something recently that I agreed
Wasn't
with.
Wasn't that a horror movie?
The producers?
No, bits and pieces. It was just called pieces. I forget.
Was it like a sci-fi?
Something I read recently that I agree about Mel Brooks is that... What's admirable about him is that he'll spend millions, you know, like a lot of money shooting a scene that is time consuming and leads up to a gag punchline.
The stupidest
And that's
punchline.
That's admirable because you're like, you know what? I got to give this guy props for making me sit through that so that somebody can do some sort of type of pun. You know, because
like
it's not somebody standing on a stage saying it to you. It's people shooting it for hundreds of thousands of dollars and wasting your time.
Like in Spaceballs with the, you know, comb the desert.
Yeah.
Like, that is the stupid, like, it shows them combing the desert, and then the guy's like, we ain't found shit. And they're like,
well,
that's the funniest part.
Of course he wouldn't, he had just the afro pick there, you know? It wouldn't be as big a comb.
Because it's a black guy with the afro pick.
Yeah, of course.
Combing.
He was always the forefront of that.
What is there to drink in here?
Oh my gosh, are you not to the chaser?
What do you think I am? Some kind of Zach?
He's not some
kind
of alcoholic.
It's not hard to drink alcohol.
It's vodka Potter's.
Would that matter if it was anything else?
No. It's liquor.
There's like Anywho. 7 up and root beer and stuff in there. Dude.
Yeah, I honestly was like just kind of meh with... Knocked Up. There were a couple parts.
Up was hilarious.
They showed a section of it on to the Tonight Show when it was first coming out, and I didn't rent it. I didn't see it at the theaters. And that part I thought was really funny. It was the part where he's explaining to her like how he got money.
Root beer?
Root beer, yeah.
I'm gonna have this chair.
That's and that's funny to me. That was funny to me. That whole like explanation about how like he thought he had $900 left. Yeah. He's like, I'm not a mathematician.
I'm not a mathematician.
That was
more
years.
Part, yeah.
That was hilarious, but then like that ended up being the funniest part in the movie.
I don't agree with that.
Did
I
you like Pineapple Remember Express?
Other jokes? I did. I enjoyed the I enjoyed it for two reasons. One, because it was a callback to those 80s comedies where
right.
there could be
it was
like
a great
a zany
like,
adventure,
yeah,
but it could also kind
of
play serious too for a bit. I didn't love it. There were parts where I was kind of bored and tired, like the part that I always think of is when they drive out and before their car battery dies and they kind
right,
of have like
the
a, they kind of fight
whatever.
Each other. They
right.
have that little buddy argument thing and that's
and they throw their phones.
Yeah.
And whatever.
That fart part to me felt like a little like
that
fart. Slow. That farts that felt bad. But
I don't know. I think like any of those, you know, Apatow, Seth Rogen, any of those movies.
Well, I think
like,
Apatow gets too much credit for someone's because that was more of a that was more of a David Gordon Green.
That's
obviously.
All born of Apatow, though. It's
but, you know, I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying
Seth,
it's all
Seth
Apatow.
Rogen
I'm just saying it's that.
He's a child of Apatow. And
like,
he,
they're, like all those
movies.
Fans
out
yeah, like,
so
all
Green
those
Hornet's
going to
be Jada Apatow's Green
Absolutely.
Hornet.
All those movies are just like, even if it's not Apatow that's making them, it's just, like, the same, like, formula, pretty
well, yeah,
much. Do you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
there is a. But I think I agree with Zach that the Adam McKay stuff, like, doesn't try to give you this, like, preachy, like, okay, we're having fun, we're all man-child.
The Adam McKay
child.
Stuff will go more lowbrow, and that's where it can be maddening and also at the same time fun.
Well, like with Step Brothers, at the end, it tries to do the Apatow thing where it's like, oh, we'll have you, like, go to sleep at 10 o'clock and be, like, living a real life. And then they're like, you know what? This fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Let's go back to just being man-children.
That's the difference.
That's
is
more
that,
true
is
to reality.
You,
that's more like,
if you,
you
examine
know,
that directly next to Knocked Up,
like,
it's
exactly.
That, it's that he forces himself to do that and get a good job so he can raise this child.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
But he's miserable.
So what's the point?
Like, what are all the movies that Apatow has actually made? Like,
that he's actually
he's only
directed,
done three.
This will be his third.
This is the third one?
Yeah.
Like,
he
that he's
Knocked
written.
Up, 40-year-old virgin.
He was involved with Freaks and Geeks and with...
Right. Did you like that show, by the way?
Yeah, I thought it was good. But
he's
it, but it also
producer
had a lot...
producer and creator, and then also of Undeclared.
Undeclared. And, but,
right.
But
I,
Paul
I used to watch that,
Fagman
too, but I didn't know that he did that until, like, not that long ago.
And then he's written a handful of junk, and he's co-written a handful of junk, and...
But this is, like, the third movie he's
actually
directed.
He's actually directed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had his... I mean, he's
and
had
the other
his
one
hands
what?
On, like...
40-year-old
you know,
virgin and what?
His fingers in many, many sinister
you know,
suits.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall was
right.
basically an Apatow film. He was executive producer, he was co-writer, he... You know, he was... That was his movie.
Did you like that movie?
I liked it a lot.
I liked that movie. I thought that movie
But here's,
was
here's
hilarious.
What's telling to me of Apatow. I remember Jason Segel on, like, Craig Ferguson talking about... How,
I don't know about that guy, though.
How well, that's the thing, is that Apatow was basically like, you know what? Maybe you just need to write your own movie to be the star in, because you're just a little too weird for, like, us to be able to, you know, he basically kind of shunned him, it sounded like. It's like, yeah, you're one of the side guys in all of our stuff, but
right.
we're not going to make you the main guy, because your whole thing is a little too, and then so he goes and he writes for Gangster Marshall, and that
was
a much funnier
he
was
so
movie
much more
than
engaging
else.
Than
yeah.
Seth Rogen is.
Oh, yeah.
So
for Apatow to shun that kind of guy who then does a movie like Sarah Marshall makes me think
that
oh,
movie did
Apatow.
Really well too.
I don't think
it did decently. It was made super cheap.
Oh, I'm sure
it was. Made,
yeah.
So I'll tell you the issue that
what
I
is
have,
the chick in it that is hot?
Maya Kunis.
The blonde.
No, the blonde one.
Oh, Kristen Bell.
Yeah, from that
yeah.
shitty show.
Yeah. Veronica Mars, you don't like her?
Yeah, and then she was like...
She's the voice of Gossip Girl.
They were like mocking...
I don't know about that.
Like, you know...
Should I watch that? Should I catch up
shows?
On DVD?
They were like
yeah.
mocking
yeah,
the shitty
it was great.
Shows in the movie.
You
know,
the Dark
CSI
Tones?
Thing?
The Dark
with
Tones?
Yeah, it's just basically
with
Tones.
William Baldwin.
William Baldwin. Yeah.
No, but here's
that's
the thing.
What I call a dicksicle.
Yeah. Here's the issue I have with that stuff. So, he's basically picked his poster child after 40-year-old version. You've got.
Well, that's the thing. I wonder if what's his name's going to come
out. I also love how Bill Hader is in all these.
Bill
movies.
Hader's very good.
Because
I think
Bill Hader's like the most underused.
He's totally sweet.
Like,
I like him a lot.
He's probably the most underused like comedic
he's
actor
really good.
That's out
yeah,
there right
now.
Because like, what has he been in where he's like?
Well, he
a role
he always
that's
has
like
a
Hot Rod. He was like number two in Hot Rod.
Dude, in
he
Hot
was,
Rod,
he
was fucking.
He's like so of course I'm working on my grinder.
Yeah. He like drops ass in
Saturday Entertainment.
My favorite line from Hot Rod is. The bathroom here is nuts.
Yeah.
Like that, Like, he's fucking hilarious. And he's the one that made the Star Wars reference and knocked up. He was like, oh, you look like Jabba the Hutt dying or whatever. And she's like throwing up, like, when he was trying to.
Yeah, he was hilarious and knocked up. It, like, dude, the 2 minutes he was in were fantastic. Oh, yeah.
And then in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he was like the brother in law that was like, you know.
He's trying to make it look like.
I thought his part was way too Apatow-ish in there. It was where, like, you have characters that have nothing
to do with like the good guy. He was like the straightforward.
Anyway, let me talk. So,
all right, sorry, Zach's talking. You guys,
40-year-old virgin is so far the peak of Apatow, because I think a lot of people think that you start making movies, right, and you make a big first splash, and then you make something that is supposedly a progression for you, and then you make your magnum opus, right? Magnum opus is where you're reaching, grasping for Oscars, and you're hoping that the actor you hire also is reaching and grasping for Oscars, because you're going to mix the hilarious comedy you're known for with the gripping
drama. Well,
let's all die of cancer.
Isn't
deal.
Like Adam Sandler good for that though? Like
no,
Punch Drunk was really.
That's
good.
What I was going to say.
I liked him.
Different.
In that.
You
that's
look at
different.
Him in Punch Drunk
because
that's
that
is
nothing.
That's what this
that has nothing to do
me.
With reality or serious life. It
well,
has
that's
to do
what
with
this
a personality
reminds me
type.
Of, because he's
this
like
is about real life problems.
That
is not about real life problems.
But here, I want to clarify. Hey,
let me finish.
Okay,
all right.
Keep your.
I think it would make
hipster
point better.
Point there. Keep your hipster point. You can pull it out.
No, look. Remember hipsters right here. Ian's up here, so we got to find a new
proto hipster. So. Basically, you get your first movie, and he has a personality who matches or equals his own kind of, not theme, but his, like, his tenor, let's say his tenor, which in his case is improv comedy. It's people rapid fire coming up with improv stuff. There's a lot of pop culture. The references, I mean, generally, like, I gotta say, I will laugh all the way through a Judd Apatow film, and afterwards you'll feel a little bit empty, maybe. And I'm only saying that because I'm knocked up. Because in 40-year-old Virgin, you have an equally gravitational personality in Steve Carell, who is totally different from the usual Apatow type thing. But of course, it worked perfectly in that film. And then you got the Seth Rogen character who provides that kind of improv type thing with Paul Rudd and everyone else in those parts. And they're side characters.
Yes.
You put those characters in the front, like in I Love You, Man. Like in Knocked Up.
Did you like I Love You, Man?
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was good.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was not as good as Sarah Marshall. I didn't like
Susan Siegel
as much.
Well, like, I know it's not really related, but I didn't think it was good as
well. That's the thing. Role Models is totally
Role Models
David
was
Wayne
good.
Is
Yeah, David
model.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's completely it's different thing, but I'm just saying, like, Paul.
David Wayne's way more absurdist.
It's totally absurdist.
I haven't seen Role Models.
I love
you haven't seen Role Models?
It's totally absurdist.
Dude, you have to watch
Role Models. You should watch it.
It probably is, like, one of the better comedies that I've seen, like, in a while.
Even though it's got Stifler?
No, like, Stifler, like, even though he's in it, like, he is fucking hilarious
in
it. Because, like, he plays, like, the role that he always plays, but, like,
it
fits so well.
I will take it.
If you looked at it and you would think it was just kind of a regular standard type of comedy, but it, in a very sneaky way, it's really kind of hilarious.
It's good. Yeah.
So you get these side characters, and then you're like, you know, and this always happens. You get a popular side character for something. You're like, who was that actor? He was the one. Mm-hmm. Who's the reason why people liked that? And then you make him the main guy in things. And Seth Rogen since then has taken
Rhoda.
Off. Rogen has become the...
He's the guy.
Superstar right now, right?
Which doesn't make sense because he's really not a good actor.
He's
like,
not a good
by
actor
by any means. But
he's and here's the thing:
and he's just
kind of
there.
I don't dislike him, but I resent him. I think he's very good. I think he's very funny, and I resent him and everything because I think they casted him in this because he's so popular.
Right.
That's all I think of. In Observe and Report, I don't know who else could have played that role, but. He was good because he's kind of like a dumbass, and he's slow, and he's fat,
and he's
not very good. And Observe and Report was the first time he had to play someone who had like a darker personality.
To him
usually,
all?
He plays like a real person.
You guys sound like you're all kind of backpedaling on your review of Observe and Report.
No, that's good. That's good. That's what I'm saying is good. In the Apatow type stuff, he plays someone who's a real person, and a real person in an Apatow film is somebody who has no motivations or whatever, and the plot comes to them, and they have to react to it. That's a real life movie. That's
I think
Roe
like the thing
Wayne.
About the Apatow That's, movies you know, and like Seth Rogen is like, and like any pretty much any characters in those movies, like when I watch them, I think like while I'm watching them, it reminds me of just like this. You know what I mean? Like
exactly. It's
it reminds me of hanging out with you or hanging out with Ian or hanging out with Blaine. And I think that's like the point of the whole movie.
That's funny,
you know?
Enough, but it's not that memorable.
Like, well, it just, like, that's why it's, like, affable. It makes it affable, you know what I mean? It makes it, like,
it's always pleasant.
It makes it funny to watch, and, like, you feel good about it, because it just reminds you of, you know, hanging out with your friends.
It's pleasant, it's friendly.
Because, it shows them, you know, sitting around talking about movies, like, especially Knocked Up, because, like, that's the whole thing in Knocked Up, is they're trying to make a website, like, you know.
Yeah, like where, Mr. Skin?
Yeah, like, where
they find out it's Mr. Skin, they're all pissed.
Yeah, like, it shows, you know, they're trying to make a website where it's just celebrity nudity and shit.
I always liked how,
and it just reminds
when
like,
they go back to the house, they all have pink eye, and they explain sadly, it's because they all farted on each other's pillows and their faces.
Yeah, like, and that, I don't know, it just reminds me of just, like, hanging out, you know, like, it's a relatable thing for me, so, like, when I watch it, I'm like, you know, I think,
that's true.
You know, it's funny because of that reason.
I think that's a good thing, and it's also at the very same time a bad thing, because that makes for good comedy, and it makes for a less than, not less than memorable, but less than important movie. My favorite like comedy movies.
Well, it might not be like something that you're gonna watch in like 30 years.
I would watch.
This is the greatest comedy
of
all time.
I would watch it over and over, but I resent the fact that, you know, my favorite comedies are generally really stupid because the goals of the characters are something really big and dumb, but they're retarded and everything that happens is funny. You know, like classically good movies are like in terms of comedies, something like Dumb and Dumber. Right?
Right. That's, when I think of classic comedies, that's what I always think of. Even though, like, the last time I watched it, I was just like...
You didn't even laugh that much,
This is fucking retarded.
But it seriously is classic.
If you're with the right person,
it's just something
that's classic.
It's something that
and
sticks
it's,
out
it's,
in your
it's
mind.
It's people in their defining roles, and it's jokes that work perfectly with their characters. They're seriously, literally, the two dumbest people in the movie.
Right, yeah.
And they've got these massive goals, which is, let's go cross-country become people. That's fine, I'll tell you that, but I'm really trying to take it to get laid by this chick that
right,
I fell in love
with.
And at the same time, it's like, it's retarded people with a really big goal that they could not possibly hope to achieve. And that's what most, like, I mean, like, that's... That's Happy Gilmore. That's like, you know, like anything that you and I like from our generation. Obviously, Ian doesn't like Adam Sandler stuff.
Right.
But,
like, those are the comedies that define what I think of as comedy.
Me too.
Like,
me
my
too.
Childhood, at least. Like,
well, but
know,
that goes
and,
all the way back
Apatow
to the Marx
thing,
Brothers shit and stuff.
Billy
too.
Madison. Like,
it does, but Marx Brothers stuff, they usually achieved it.
Dirty Work is, you know,
and Marx Brothers
stuff,
they usually achieved it.
Well,
anything
I think
they try to get
maybe the nihilist angle is a new thing, but. I mean, they've always
it's
been
not,
stupid.
It's not nihilist.
Well, when you don't achieve
people
it,
don't achieve it, and they don't care because they're dumb. That's not nihilist at all.
But it's kind of like, what's the point?
It's funny to watch people.
They learn something about themselves, and they gain their friendship back. The whole point is the comedy of it.
Yeah.
So the Apatow thing is, it's real situations and it's real people and it's real dumbasses talking to each other and making
rather
jokes,
than just
like
a ridiculous
interplay. And that's
it
fine.
Kind of
it's
loses
funny
the comedy
and it's different and after a while it loses the comedy. After a
I
while
think
it does.
But
so
I think
so, so here's my thing.
All right,
so the fact that Seth Rogen then is in all these other things and he's built on this pedestal of 40-year-old virgin where he played this character named Seth or whatever his name was.
Some stock.
And he was hilarious in that. He has some of the best lines in that movie.
Where like the whole thing where he's talking about like how he goes to Mexico and he's watching the chick fuck a horse or whatever.
All that
like,
stuff. Like,
he's like, it was just really sad.
Everything he's in is great. And then at the end,
hilarious.
Like, he has all the best lines. Someone's, when they first see the girl in the bookstore, Elizabeth Banks, and he's like, something's wrong with her panties. He's like, they're not in my mouth. and you can tell, like, half of those are improvised lines.
Right,
so he's a really funny person.
That's
and,
like the best
and
thing
I imagine
about
that Seth Rogen's stand-up has got to be hilarious. I imagine it has to be. I'm interested to see funny people just for that reason.
Well, didn't they all write their own
stand-up? Yeah, they wrote their own stand-up
for,
and they performed
like,
it
for
and
the
shot
movie.
It.
Yeah.
They performed to live audiences and all that stuff. But
they
but,
brought Posehn and Patton and all those guys
yeah,
in to help with
yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the stand-up and stuff?
Yeah. So
really?
So basically,
that's pretty
they're professional joke writers.
That's fantastic.
Well,
yeah.
You know, that's what
that means
do.
It'll actually probably have some funny bits.
Oh, I'm sure it will, yeah.
That's why I'm seriously looking forward to the point.
The issue I have is that Forgetting Sarah Marshall gets away from basically everything has this character in it, and Seth Rogen cannot play anything other than the one character he's always played. He will always be that. It's somebody who's smarter than he seems, who makes sarcastic remarks, who knows that he's kind of fat and out of shape and that people don't like him that much.
He's got this like low self-esteem.
And then
he's
kind of bitter and low self-esteem about that. But he's generally good-natured and affable and all that stuff. And it's the same character every single time.
Right.
And Jason Segel doesn't have to do that because he's an actual actor.
Right.
And so Forgetting Sarah Marshall was like a Judd Apatow film that Seth Rogen was not in, which is exactly what it was. And that made it more interesting to me.
Well, this is why I had a problem with Zach and Miri, because it was Seth Rogen, and so it did the thing where...
Even though it was Kevin Smith, it seemed like a Judd Apatow film.
Well, and it seemed like... Like I said, remember, my big criticism at the time was I wanted it to be more funny, and it tried to turn into this, like, pseudo-real, like, relationship movie towards the middle, and it stopped being a spy.
Kevin Smith. Chasing Amy.
Yeah, it is. That's the whole thing I thought about that movie. Like, I was like...
I thought it was funny, though.
It's not, like...
It had some parts.
Obviously, like, you know, it was, like...
I resent Craig T. Robinson. I resent Seth Rogen.
You resent Craig T. Robinson?
I resent him. Everything I see him in now, even though he's hilarious...
Really?
Did you see...
Who is that? I don't even know who that is.
The black
guy. That's the guy
from Pineapple Express.
Oh, the guy that... I synced it.
Yeah.
That guy? Yeah. He's fucking hilarious.
He is, but I resent him now.
He's like probably one of the best parts of
Zack. Did you see...
Oh, yeah, he's the best
part. The Whitest Kids You Know movie.
He's hilarious.
Miss May or whatever?
Miss March.
Okay. Is that like their movie? Like,
it's their movie.
Is it funny?
It's not. It's terrible.
I won't
waste time. But...
That's weird.
Craig T. Robinson...
Not funny.
Craig T. Robinson is hilarious in it. And he played his character.
You like that show?
The show is pretty funny.
Very little of it, but what I've seen, like,
I really dislike
a couple times.
I dislike the main guy, which is Trevor, the guy who writes the whole thing.
He seems.
I saw one sketch that was funny, which was the thing about Abraham Lincoln.
That was hilarious.
They have a lot of really,
which was pretty
sketches,
like,
actually.
It was pretty funny,
but he kind of overrides most of the stuff.
Right. He's like the guy that writes most of it, right?
Craig T. directs, writes. Yeah, Craig T. Robinson in Miss March plays this. He's a pimp named. His name is something.com.
Right.
Like his name, like that's his actual legal name.
Website?
Yeah, but it's, I forget what it is, and it's the most ridiculous thing. And he's hilarious. He's really funny in it. But the whole time I was like, gosh, this movie's terrible, and he's the best part, but I really wish he wasn't in it.
I get that, though. Like, where there's like, what was that one movie that had that really funny part, and I was like, why did they do that? Like, we were watching part of it or something. You were explaining it to me, or
I don't remember.
But you remember that, right?
Yeah.
There was some movie, and then
why'd they waste it for that?
Like,
terrible
why
movie?
Did they? Why is it in this one movie?
It's just like Pootie Tang. You guys remember that movie?
Louis C.K. Man.
They just put that on the on AV Club, the new cult canon. They put that on there. The guy I talked about, like, is some fantastic cult
film. It's not that funny.
It wasn't funny
at all.
It's
not funny, man. There's
the one
like
funny thing
two
was,
funny
they kept cutting
the
to
movie.
These, like zooming parts
with,
of Wanda
what's
Sykes.
What's her name? Yeah,
Wanda Sykes
Sykes.
Dancing. And then finally, halfway through the film, someone goes up and goes, hey, baby, how much? And she goes, what, just because a girl likes to dress up and stand next to some whores on a street corner, you think she's a hoe? A hoe? What is that? What? You know, like, she gets all mad at them. But she's been doing that the whole movie. Like, he's got to do her, like, doing that in the street corner.
Yeah,
it
like
is
that,
killing
that's
me.
The
like
only,
a feather
that's
bow.
The only funny part that I remember from that movie.
Yeah,
that movie was not funny at all.
God, what was that, though? I felt like we watched it over here, part of it or something.
I think we did, yeah.
And it's like, why is this in this movie?
Do you remember when we watched that, like, hour-long Stephen Wright, black and white, fucking... What was that?
Oh, we watched that. I watched that again over here.
It was on the Stephen Wright...
it was the comedy thing.
The stand-up thing.
The stand-up thing.
It was the Civil War thing.
Yeah, the stand-up was hilarious, and then there was, like, this long, drawn-out...
That's an Oscar-winning.
I love it. It's great.
It
was...
The context for which we watched it, I think... Even I felt a little tedious because it's like 4 a.m. and everything.
And then, yeah, but and then it was like cutting back and forth between
the first time I saw
stand
it,
up and that.
Did it?
Yeah, it was going.
It didn't cut back.
I thought that it did.
No,
oh, or was it just at the
no,
end?
I wouldn't. I cannot stand when they do shit like that.
I thought because you were like, oh, it's like, you know, it's like 10, 15 minutes
I thought
long.
It was
and then it was like,
it
kept going, and I was like, what the hell is this? Because, like,
I
mean, like,
side.
Obviously it was funny because, you know, Stephen Wright, you know, you can't go wrong with that. But, like, it was just, like, so strange. Like, the comedy in it was, like, comedy, but not actually, like, funny.
You were just
kind of like, that's funny, I guess.
Funny things to say. That's what Stephen Wright is, man.
Yeah, that's good
stuff. But at least it's thoughtful and funny and not, like... Tim and Eric, where it's just like not thoughtful at all.
Hey,
it's just boneheaded.
Hey,
and then
you
like,
better not talk shit.
But how ironic is that? Hey, we're ostensibly doing comedy, but it's not.
What about
funny.
Like when it shows them, you know, eating stuff?
Oh yeah, they go back to that.
And they're like, wow.
Look at how fat America is.
And I love how Tim just keeps getting fatter and fatter like every season.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know.
Just keeps eating.
I'll give you credit for a lot of
stuff. It's fucking hilarious, man. I have to say, I'm not going to say 100% of it's funny, but I would have to say 90% of it's probably funny.
It's, you know.